Disclaimer, I do not own Naruto. As a matter of fact, I don't own anything cool, or anything that would bring me money, or anything that anyone would actually enjoy. I don't even own any good ideas. If I owned Naruto, there would be more violence, because there is something wrong with me deep down. Seriously, it's like rooted in my psyche somewhere, and only years and years of therapy has even the slightest chance of bringing these demons too light before I lose control and end a life with my bare hands. Oh well, at least when it happens, it won't be you. Or will it be? Who knows? Not I, of course. Enjoy the chapter, and watch your back. Chapter 16. Based on a true story. Hokage's Tower. Hokage's office. Hiruzen stood on the lookout point at the top of the tower with Naruto standing behind him. He knew the boy was there. Naruto had been standing there for at least 5 minutes, probably trying to correctly word what he wanted to say. Hiruzen could tell from Naruto's lack of boisterous greeting that it was important, so he hadn't goaded him into speaking. "Old man," Naruto finally said, his voice rather low, showing the brevity of whatever it was he wished to speak about. Naruto swallowed down a lump in his throat and finally chose to raise his voice closer to its normal timbre. "I've read some things recently, and I know that my name is from a clan that was supposed to be pretty famous. The book told me lots of stuff about how they were the best at Funjutsu and the crest on the back of my clothes meant. So I just wanted to know two things." Hiruzen turned around to face Naruto, showing the boy that he was taking his question seriously. "All right, go ahead and ask away, Naruto. I'll answer what I can." Naruto nodded and began to fire away. "Are there any more of them left? Or is it just like Shikamaru said, the part about the clan being extinct?" Hiruzen let out a sigh as he answered. "It is true. It happened long, long ago. Any of them that are left are scattered to the corners of the world, and none of that bloodline claim the surname Uzumaki any longer. I'm sorry." "Huh," Naruto said, as he had expected that much from the whole "they're extinct" thing. "Well, that sucks." Hearing Naruto's blunt summary of his clan's current state actually put a small smile on Hiruzen's face. "Yes, it does. I would imagine. I would have worked with members of your clans in the distant past, and I can certainly tell you that the book you read was accurate. They were fearsome fighters, energetic, much like you, but not nearly as much so," he said with a chuckle. "And they were good at Funjutsu, as you were informed. It eventually led to their downfall in the end. Having a village spearheaded by masters of such a complex technique led to their enemies teaming up to eventually destroy them in the end. I'm afraid all their possessions were lost with them, so there's nothing I can hand down to you in that respect." Naruto waved it off. He didn't care much for anything material at all. "Don't sweat it. I've dealt with out this long back when I didn't know anything. Doesn't matter now, right? I'll make my own clan stuff." He scratched the side of his head and laughed uncomfortably as he asked his next question. "If you knew anything about my family, anything worth telling me, like about my mom and dad, could you tell me?" "Well, now that he knows his clan was famous and extinct, it isn't so far-fetched to believe that someone would know who his parents were. I mean, how many people named Uzumaki exist in this village? He'd come from somewhere and someone would know that name," the old Kage thought, before he was struck with something else. "Well, he's telling Naruto about what's within him, so he can tell him this too. I'll tell you what, Naruto, there's a man you'll find in this village. At some point, he's a big, tall man with long, wild white hair, and he wears wooden sandals. He's a pretty flamboyant person. You can't miss him." "How will I find him?" Naruto wondered, excited at the possibility of meeting someone that could tell him about his parents. "I mean, finding one guy is hard when I've never met him before, and the only person with white hair that I know of is Kakashi-sensei." Hiruzen let out a chuckle as he put his hand on Naruto's head. "Trust me, Naruto, he won't be that hard for you to find at all. He'll probably drop right into your lap. I hope this helped. When you do talk to Jiraiya, I want to know you can come to me, and I'll try and fill in whatever he couldn't." Naruto nodded and smirked before making the ram seal and vanishing in a puff of smoke. He is just as fast as Kakashi and Asuma said he was. Days later, Team 10 training ground. It had been a few days since Naruto's meeting with Hiruzen over his desire to bring his clan back to prominence. Time was winding down and preparations were coming to a close, with training time for the Chunin exams that would be taking place in the Land of Iron. If any Jonin in Konoha worth their salt was making sure that their Genin squads that intended on participating were up to snuff for that harrowing challenge, including the Jonin of Team 10. Come on, people. Laps, laps, laps. Keep those hands moving. I better not see you miss a single seal in the lineup. Asuma currently had his team running full-speed laps on the edge of the training field while making hand seals on the fly. This sounded like something ridiculously easy for Naruto. And it was, even with two full backpacks of rocks strapped to his chest and a back. Shikamaru, pick up the pace. You're three behind Ino and 10 behind Naruto. They'd been doing this for the last 2 hours straight. I'm not Naruto, Asuma, Shikamaru uncharacteristically yelled. Why are you even comparing my lap count to his? He can do this for the rest of the day as long as we stop for lunch. He could outrun you if he had to.
So tired.
Ino huffed as she kept moving. She fought back the urge to puke not too long ago, as she was cool to keep going, as much as it sucked going full speed. Asuma cupped his hands to his mouth and yelled at her, "Stop complaining out loud, you guys. Talking makes you tired faster." He turns towards Naruto as the boy was about to book it past him again, only the sweat pouring down his face, telling Asuma that he was even feeling it. Yeah, this isn't doing it for him. He stuck out his arm and stopped Naruto in his tracks. Hold up. You're done. Ino and Shikamaru will only have to finish two more each, and then we can move on. I can keep going, Naruto insisted. Asuma nodded. I know you can. That's why I'm ending it here. Because the point of this was to get you tired and make you keep pushing through it. If I wanted to do that with you, we'd be here all day long, and most of the night. So for now, I'll teach you how to add wind chakra to your weapon. He pulled out his trench knives. It's simple. After you've gotten splitting the leaf down, just treat the weapon as if it were the leaf itself. Generate your chakra the same way around the blade. Naruto pulled out his machete from his waist and began to do what he had been accustomed to doing with his leaf before today. Like with the leaf, he could feel his chakra had reached cutting potential. But seeing as how he couldn't cut metal with his chakra, it further sharpened the already razor-sharp edge of his weapon. So, Asuma gestured towards the edge of the clearing, where there were trees abundant. Go hack into something that you know you wouldn't have been able to got close to cutting through with this. Naruto shrugged and ran towards the nearest tree. That wasn't their official team meeting point, with a battle cry before jumping at it with a diagonal slash that cleaved cleanly right through the wood. Woo, yeah, Naruto exclaimed happily, celebrating his weapon's newfound cutting prowess by jumping around. He used both hands and started swinging around his machete in a theatrical manner, while making wishing noises with his mouth. All hail Uzumaki Naruto's clear-cutting machete. Veer my high-flying flow. He pointed the machete at Ino and Shikamaru, who stopped to look at him rant. Fear it! Okay, Ino said, hands on her knees, as she took her time to catch her breath. Shikamaru, on the other hand, was laying on the ground, not even looking up at Naruto from where he was still gloating to the world with his machete. What's next, Asuma? He asked the bearded Jonin, who walked over to them. There's only a week left before we head out to the Land of Iron, Asuma started to say. He grabbed Shikamaru's hand and dragged the groaning boy off the ground. I want you to do something together as a team before we go. Right now is as good as any time as any while I'm letting you all come down from that workout. Hearing this, the blonde boy and the girl followed behind their sensei. Konoha Hot Springs. Naruto, Shikamaru, and Asuma shared on the male bath side, sighing in relief while sitting in the hot water. Asuma cupped a hand in front of his mouth and yelled towards the gate separating the two sides of the hot springs. How are you doing over there, Ino?
I'm fine, she yelled back,
enjoying this time given to her to rest up.
It's fine since I can talk with you guys over here. It's great.
Being on the woman's side and knowing who was on the other side closest to the fence made her feel rather safe, as neither Naruto or Shikamaru were the type to try and peek on her, especially not with Asuma there.
So do you think we're ready for the exams, Asuma?
Absolutely, he said, leaning back against the wall of the bath he was in.
Eno, your new offensive attacks are going to catch tons of enemies off guard if you actually have to fight. Shikamaru's been training in depth and managed to get some offense behind him now that doesn't consist of him sneaking up on someone. Whatever, Shikamaru replied in response to the playfully backhanded compliment. Troublesome adult. Asuma just smirked at him and kept talking, turning his attention to Naruto, who had gotten a cigarette in the bath with him and was currently partaking in a smoke. And we've got McSpaz Pants over here. I'm not a spaz, Naruto replied heedily before blowing smoke directly into the air. I haven't done anything spazzy, and he started counting on his fingers before speaking again. At least a week. Asuma shook his head in amusement. And well, you having your nose in that book of yours is keeping you occupied. Are you getting anything out of it so far? He asked Naruto in interest, wanting to know how another facet of his student's private studies were going. He didn't know anything about Fujinjutsu, so having one of his beginning to learn it was kind of cool, especially if he was teaching himself. Naruto made a tiny hand gesture as he grinned. A little bit. The basics. I'm not nearly good enough to do anything cool. I'm doing exercises that just amount to me making storage seals. I tried to read further, but I didn't really get what it was talking about. It said something about how just sealing objects was thinking too small. I don't know what that means, since the book said you could seal pretty much anything. So why would sealing an object like a house or something be thinking too small? It's a brain teaser, he said, running his hand through his hair. Shikamaru rolled his eyes. That Shio girl and I told you that Fujinjutsu was going to be hard, Naruto. Don't just try skipping ahead and blowing off your arms. We need you in one piece so we can take that test. I'll be ready to roll. Don't you worry, Naruto said, slapping some water over at Shikamaru jokingly. Inu spoke from her side of the hot spring. I thought you didn't want to go due to the exams in the first place, Shika. What, did Goldie finally kick you in gear with that energy of his? Don't call me Goldie, Naruto said, seething at the name. You're blonde too. Not blonde like you, though, Inu responded, and Naruto could just see the smirk on her face through the wall. Goldie. She heard a thump bounce off the wall and let out a laugh. Oh, cheer up. It's a term of endearment. You should be happy yours is so nice. Asuma and Shikamaru aren't so lucky. Asuma's eyes twitched in reference to the conversation. Yes, because Bum and Smokestack are so endearing, Ino. He then noticed Naruto was getting out of the hot spring on their side, wrapping a towel around himself to leaving it dressed. Where are you going, Naruto? Naruto looked over his shoulder, cigarette still hanging in his mouth. I've had plenty enough of soaking in the water. I'm going to go for a little walk. I won't go too far. All right, Asuma said, dismissing Naruto to do what he wanted. Sitting in one place doing nothing was still something that was just out of Naruto's range of possibility. Naruto's walkabout outside of the hot springs were just so that he didn't fall asleep while he was in there. How could his team just chill out and relax like that? He was all fired up for the Chunin exams. He wanted to get rolling again. He was ready for whatever was in store for them, no matter what it was. This exam was a test in more ways than once. It was a test to see where they stood among ninja that were supposed to be on their level. No fighting shinobi that were supposed to be head and shoulders above them like Haku. And he wanted his rematches, both with Sasuke and Tenten. Sasuke because they never truly got going with their fight, and Tenten because he wanted to get his win back, to say the very least. And that wasn't even mentioning Tenten's teammates, especially that kid with the white eyes. He knew that there was no way they weren't getting themselves a piece of these Chunin exams as well. It almost felt like seeking Tenten out to brag about the fact he was going, but the element of surprise appealed to him more. He heard some light giggling, but decided to ignore it until he heard it again. He looked around but didn't see anyone. However, he heard another set of giggles and he growled himself, thinking someone was messing with him. Chakra echolocation jutsu. Naruto's control of the jutsu at this point was so great he could walk around blindfolded if he kept letting out constant pulses of the jutsu. He had never done this to test it out, but the way things were now, he could see up close with his eyes closed and feel things at a distance out of his eye shot. And to his right behind the shrubs and bushes, he could feel a large living presence. Naruto dropped the cigarette from his mouth and stomped it under his foot before he walked over through the foliage and saw someone crouching by the fence, keeping the hot springs away from the outside. What are you doing? Quiet, kid, the man said. not even turning to pay Naruto any mind. Are you trying to get me caught here? He then let out a thoughtful sound.
That blonde girl looks like she'll wind up being a 10 when the time comes. Something to think about for later, he said to no one in particular.
Naruto's face twisted in confusion before he realized what was happening and gave the strange man a deadpan look.
Are you really peeking on the wind side of the springs?
A few set of giggles gave him his answers.
That's really sad, you know.
The man waved him off.
Whatever, kid. Hey, you want to get in on this?
He offered. A kid like you needs to learn about the healthy female figure at some point,
and now's as good a time as any. Considered a gift from the magnanimous Jiraiya-sama.
Naruto's eyes widened as he fished through his pockets of his windbreaker before pulling out the book that he had been reading recently. As he read the name of the author on the front, he lowered the book in shock.
You're Jiraiya? You? You're the guy that wrote the book I'm reading?
Hearing Naruto almost yell, Jiraiya turned and stood up to his full height, towering over Naruto as he walked closer.
Get real, kid. There's no way a runt like you has read my works. They're for adults only.
Naruto gave him a strange look and held up his Fun Jutsu help manual.
This is for adults?
I know I had to take a test to read this thing, but other than that, there wasn't a restriction. Are you sure? Jiraiya squinted and looked at the book in Naruto's hands. Meanwhile, Naruto scrutinized Jiraiya's appearance.
Wild spiky hair, big tall man, big wooden sandals. Holy crap, this is the guy the old man was telling me about.
Jiraiya's face finally smiled as he recognized the book Naruto had with him.
Oh yeah, that thing. I almost forgot I wrote that. You managed to get into that? Way to go, kid. It's almost like you're my student. So what's your name? Uzumaki Naruto.
Naruto told him. And the Hokage told me you were the guy I need to ask about a few things. After smiling at having found Naruto so easily, Jiraiya's face turned gray.
So he knew enough about what was going on inside of him that he went to Sarutobi. Man, this was good timing to meet the kid anyways, from the looks of things.
He smirked and pointed his thumb at himself.
I'll answer any of your questions you got for me, kid. There's no way I can let an apparent disciple of mine go without knowing things from the Grand Sage Jiraiya can inform him on.
Great, Naruto said, getting excited now. Not only did he find the man he needed to see rather effortlessly, it was the guy that wrote his book. What a great day to be him. Then the female voices over the fence started acknowledging their presence.
Who's out there? There's a hole in the fence. I see orange.
Naruto and Jiraiya both paled, knowing their fate if they were to be caught here.
We need to get out of here, kid. Now!
Jiraiya hissed a whisper as he grabbed Naruto and took off running before any woman could get dressed and chase them, or worse, knock down the fence and kick the crap out of them.
We? Naruto said indignantly as he found himself tucked under Jiraiya's arm. What do you mean, we? I didn't do anything. You were the one peeking.
They won't care, Jiraiya yelled as he used his Sunshin to cover his movements of leaving the street.
Unsin 1, female anger is an unguided weapon.
And just as they disappeared without a trace, a crowd of women wearing towels emerged from the change room, charging out to the street to search for whoever it was they saw getting looks at them.
Damn it! Whoever they were fast.
The woman who spoke pointed to the side.
Some of you, go over that bridge and search over there. The rest of us will keep going this way. Remember, orange!
And with that, the angry mob split up and took off. As the sounds of angry women vanished from the area, Jiraiya's voice whispered,
Man, kid, you are strong.
Under the bridge crossing the stream of water hot springs, Naruto had his palms and entire body stuck flat to the underside, while Jiraiya held onto him like a leash.
Is your entire body stuck to that thing?
Yeah, Naruto said, focusing on keeping himself stuck to the bridge with the extra heavy added baggage attached to him.
Can you let go now? I think they're gone.
Are you sure? Jiraiya said, almost fearfully. He didn't want to get himself beaten up today on the word of some kid he met not even 5 minutes prior.
I don't sense anyone,
Naruto assured him. As with the positioning he was in, he couldn't see through the bridge with his jutsu. He could still sense life, though.
It's clear, Jiraiya-sensei.
Jiraiya dropped off of Naruto and landed on the surface of the water, barely blinking in his surprise when Naruto did the same.
Jiraiya-sensei?
Naruto pulled out the book and tapped it.
Oh, okay. I got you, kid.
They started walking on the water and jumped back onto the street. The danger had subsided.
Naruto?
Both Naruto and Jiraiya turned to see Asuma and the two other genin on Team 10 walking towards him, fully dressed like himself. Once Asuma saw Jiraiya, he quickly acknowledged him.
Oh, it's good to see you, Jiraiya-sama. We should have a talk sometime. What's up, Asuma-sensei?
Naruto said with a smile. I'm just going to talk with Jiraiya-sensei here. I have some things to ask him about. I don't mind, Asuma said, looking down at Inu and Shikamaru. Well, that's all I've had for us today. You guys are all dismissed for the day.
Shikamaru nodded. However, Inu stood there with an angry look on her face, tapping her foot on the ground as she glared at Naruto.
You know, all the commotion just now was from someone wearing orange. You wouldn't happen to know anyone wearing orange, would you, Naruto?
Naruto grabbed his windbreaker.
No, I don't.
When he could feel the anger radiating off her to get Shikamaru and Asuma to step away from him, he said,
Oh, this isn't orange. This is Tangelo. See? Tangelo.
Ino narrowed her eyes and pointed at them with two fingers before pointing back at Naruto and walking away.
Shikamaru put a hand on Naruto's shoulder and she said, Yeah, you're dead. Watch your place for traps when you get home later. That's what I'd do. Later.
Asuma waited for his other two genin had left before turning to Jiraiya, who nodded. Jiraiya looked at Naruto.
Hey, kid. You have a place to relax so we can talk some of the stuff you're probably going to ask me about super sensitive information.
Yeah, sure, Naruto said, gesturing for them to follow.
Let's go.
Hokage Monument. Naruto sat down on the head of the fourth Hokage and looked out over the entire village for a moment before turning around to look at both Asuma and Jiraiya, who were standing beside each other with similar looks on their faces.
Hey, why are you here, Asuma-san? Say,
you don't want me to be? The man asked in amusement, getting Naruto to fervently shake his head, fearing that he might have offended him.
Calm down, Naruto. I'm just here to help. Who knows? I might be able to help with something that you find out here.
Naruto didn't know what that meant, but it didn't matter in the end. He saw Jiraiya take a seat on the ground as well and let off a sigh.
It's ironic you picked this head to sit down on.
Naruto grinned at him. Well, the fourth Hokage was the coolest, at least as far as I'm concerned. Whenever I look at his face up here, it just, I don't know, clicks with me for some reason. I can't explain just why he's my favorite when I actually personally know Sarutobi, Gigi, but he is.
Why did you agree to do this with so easily anyways? And seriously, Asuma, why are you here? I thought you'd be more inclined to go find that Kurenai lady after we're done, like you usually do.
Asuma sat down on the ground with only more weight behind it in an irritable manner.
You guys just love taking shots at that, don't you? You saw me with her once.
That you know of, Naruto replied cheekily. Then he got seriously.
So really, what's this about? Because Jiraiya, you shouldn't know me well enough to be okay with me just asking you any kind of question. I expected some kind of fight or something.
Jiraiya crossed his arms, wondering how he should start this.
Well, the thing is, Naruto, I'm here to tell you something. It's pretty important. It has to do with the fourth Hokage. And the reason I'm telling you is since he was my student.
Naruto's eyes widened.
No way. I thought the only person you trained was Namikaze Minato guy that you talked about in your book sometimes.
Jiraiya gave Naruto a dry look.
Don't they teach you kids anything in the academy these days? That's the name of the fourth Hokage. That's him. And I'm here to tell you something you didn't know. It's actually a pretty major secret no one is allowed to talk about. It's directly about you.
About me? Naruto asks. He feels his heart start to beat faster. What was so special about him that there's some secret surrounding it? He's just some kid. And even though he found out recently he's part of some fallen clan, that wasn't a good enough reason. He wasn't special. Yet. That would come when he could prove to others that he was.
What about me? What is it?
Asuma could see Jiraiya didn't know how to word things. And for some reason his father Hiruzen wanted the Toad Sage to be the one to tell him this, so all he could do was nudge things along.
Tell me, Naruto, what do you know about the night the Nine Tails attacked the village?
It was like a switch turned. Naruto told him everything he knew about it. Only the topic that Naruto, fresh out of the academy, could recite back to anyone with textbook accuracy, just like they expected him to.
Good job, Naruto. All those things are absolutely right. Do you know how the Nine Tails was defeated?
Naruto squinted his eyes and thought, not quite remembering what was told about how the demon was defeated.
I don't know, like a super big jutsu?
Jiraiya shook his head.
No, I'm wrong. So, wait, I heard that the Nine Tails could flatten mountains and tsunamis with swings of its tails. How could anything except a huge jutsu beat that?
Loon jutsu, kid, Jiraiya said, seeing Naruto's eyes wide. See why it's important now?
So what did he do?
Naruto asked, excited that the new thing he was studying was the source of a huge victory, and even more inspired by the fact that the fourth Hokage was learning today. Is it something that I'm going to learn? Ozma frowned at that.
I hope not, Naruto. What the Hokage used to defeat the Nine Tails took his life. I don't want to see or hear about you using anything like that. You're not supposed to die before me, especially like that.
Jiraiya nodded in agreement. If Naruto got that good at Funjutsu, he'd be damn proud, of course, but he was nervous when he found out that Minato had learned the dead demon consuming seal. And that damn thing wound up killing him in the end.
Still, Naruto, I want you to tell me, have you ever felt, I don't know, different?
Have you ever felt like any kind of strange sensation coming from your body? Naruto raised an eyebrow in confusion.
Why the hell are you giving me the talk? I know this is what the strange sensation is, Jiraiya. Sensei, I'm not stupid.
Jiraiya palmed his face as Ozma began laughing at the legendary ninja.
Not that strange sensation, you brat. I'm being serious here.
I mean, have you ever felt overly angry, scared, helpless? Naruto nodded grimly, remembering what he felt all three of those things when he thought that Haku had killed his team, remembering that having befriended a spy almost got his team in serious trouble.
Can you remember what happened when you did that?
Naruto started to think, trying to remember what he did when he fought Haku.
I caught up to her, and I beat her up pretty bad. I don't know how I got to her so fast, though. Haku was way faster than me. It's like I was seeing red or something. I didn't stop until I was just about to beat her to death. I think I broke a tree.
His eyes widened.
Wait, I did. I almost broke a tree with just my body. I couldn't do that before. I haven't done it since.
Jiraiya figured that in the heat of battle, Naruto didn't care much for why he was so strong. Just that it happened, and it got him the win he needed.
Naruto, there was no way for Minato to actually kill the Ninetales. It's not immortal in the sense that you and I are. It's a force in nature more than anything else. All he could do was seal the way. What do you think about sealing? You've read my book. What is the basic concept of it?
Naruto looked at his hands as he realized what was going on, hoping that he was wrong about it.
Sealing jutsu seals things within another object. It's the basic concept of the art.
That's the definition given when Naruto first started the actual manual portion of the book.
Now, when were you born, Naruto?
Asuma asked him.
October 10th,
Naruto said without missing a beat.
Same day as the attack. He let out a sigh. I've been thinking how weird it was, so it's sealed inside me? Where?
Jiraiya lifted Naruto's shirt.
Channel some chakra there.
Naruto did as instructed, and a spiral mark with 8 prongs appeared on his navel.
That's where the seal is.
Naruto looked down with a deep frown.
Well, if that isn't a kick in the head, and to think I'd done more things shirtless, I probably would have caught that. That kind of sucks.
Naruto took a few deep breaths, trying to process what he'd been told.
I'm having a little trouble wrapping my head around this. Who all knew about this?
Asuma pointed at Naruto, behind Naruto at the village they were looking.
Everyone. Well, that's fun for a bunch of different reasons, he said sarcastically. Here's another question. Why am I just finding out about this now?
He asked, waiting for a goddamn good excuse.
Dad thought it would be better if you didn't know, so you'd think you were normal. Only adults knew. They weren't allowed to tell anyone younger.
No one was even allowed to speak of it, Ozma tried to explain. It didn't explain why no one told him after he became a ninja, but seeing as how Naruto hadn't compared himself to the demon yet, that book on Funjutsu was a good thing, and he hadn't even asked that, so it hadn't crossed his mind.
I was honestly going to tell you, but Dad told me to wait for a Jiraiya here to return from his mission so he could tell you.
You had to find out eventually. There's no way you could walk around forever without knowing. That's irresponsible for a ton of reasons. Jiraiya watched Naruto's stone expression.
How are you feeling, kid?
Naruto was currently running his tongue over his canines as he thought.
So what does this mean? I have the Ninetales seal inside me. What? Am I supposed to unseal it or something? Do something with it? Because I don't know how to.
He said, lifting his shirt up, making a half-ram seal, as he attempted to unseal the Ninetales if it were equipment.
No!
Both Jiraiya and Asuma said simultaneously.
Dryad because it was a dangerous route of thinking. Asuma because he didn't know how complex sealing like this worked and if Naruto could actually do something like that. What the hell does any of this mean? Naruto yelled back, pointing his thumb. Everybody knew about this thing. That explains why no one ever hung out with me or anything. Why adults didn't trust me. Why nobody liked me before they even met me. Tell me what the fucking point was. Naruto yelled as he jumped to his feet. Why me? Why was it me? Did he just grab the first orphan from the attack he could find and stick the Ninetales inside me? Asuma let him get his anger out, as did Jiraiya. He was still just a kid. How was he supposed to respond to finding these things out? He had questions. Questions Asuma couldn't answer. Why was it him? Jiraiya let Naruto pace around angrily for a few moments before speaking. The fourth believed that you could hold that power back. He was right. Since you've done a fantastic job so far. Naruto looked around towards Jiraiya and narrowed his eyes at him. Why? He nearly hissed out. Why did he know that? How did he know that? What made him so damn sure that I could do it? I was just some random baby. He was, since no one seemed to know about his clan roots. Being angry at something he had no original control over, no actual person to vent on, what isn't just in Naruto's nature. What happened, happened. It was done to save the village, and in the end, it saved him too. There was no one else that's all there was to it. Nothing had changed from 2 hours prior when he did know, except now he had more things to think about. Naruto lay down on the cool stone, made up the head of the fourth Hokage on the Hokage Monument, looked up at the sky. After a while, he let out what seemed like his millionth sigh of the day. So what does it mean exactly? Nothing, Asuma said firmly. Doesn't mean a single thing. Absolutely nothing has changed now that you know these things, Naruto. Jiraiya cut in at this point. I'm telling you this now because you're a shinobi kid. You can either embrace this part of you that might have been there since the beginning, or you can try and ignore it. But something like what happened with the Nine Tails might happen again one day. Tell me how you felt when you fought this Haku person. Naruto's eyes shut in the light of the blazing sun in the sky. Like I wanted to kill her. That hurting her was the only thing that mattered. The way she hurt me and my team. I hated feeling like that. But I tried to just forget it. To take the basic lesson from it. Dry nodded. That was the influence of the Ninetales chakra. Have you ever felt so angry that killing somebody was the first thing on your mind prior to this? Naruto sat up and shook his head. The angrier you get, the more influence the Kyuubi will have over your emotions. You can just ignore it, then use its chakra to turn you into something savage. That time your anger was directed, the more power you feel flowing through you, the harder it will be to remain in control. You may attack those close to you. Man, Naruto said, looking between the two elder shinobi there with him. What a day. I really didn't see this coming at all. I think I need to go home and think about this for a while. He looked over at Asuma. Do I have to tell Inu and Shikamaru? Asuma shook his head. I've told you that you finding out about this didn't change anything. You don't have to tell them if you don't want to. It's your own secret, and everyone has something they like to keep to themselves. It's your call in the end. Naruto nodded with a small smile and stood up as he walked towards the edge of the cliff. Are you going to be all right, Naruto? Yeah, I'll be fine. Naruto replied as he got to the end of the fourth head. I'm going to head home now, Asuma, Sensei. I guess I'll see you around too, Jiraiya, Sensei. With that, Naruto started walking down the face of the statue. Man, this would have been useful to know right before I graduated. Once it was clear that Naruto was gone, Asuma turned towards Jiraiya as the two men stood. Kid never even asked those questions he wanted to ask you, he said in an offhand manner. So what are you planning to do now? Jiraiya looked at the edge of the cliff where Naruto had started walking. Well, I'd like to have a hand in training Naruto. I think there's a few things I can teach him that I think Minato would have wanted me to let him in on. He technically is my student if he's reading that book of his. You noticed Asuma's frown. Hey, I'm not going to take your student away from you, Asuma. I just think it'd be nice for me to teach him a couple of things. I won't if you don't want me to. It's a week before you're supposed to take your kids to the land of iron, right? Yeah, Asuma said, grabbing a cigarette and placing it in his mouth. I've got them going into the tuning exams. They're damn good. They'll clean up for sure. Jiraiya made a noise, signifying he understood. You know, maybe I'll head up on up there to see once they reach the final stage if they get that far. It's going to be some great gigantic affair. Every single in village is supposed to have a stake in this one. Sounds like it's going to be a total disaster. Entertaining, to say the least, he said with a grin. Rosmer returned the grin once he thought about it. You know what that... All that means just one thing. That it's time to show off.
With Naruto. Naruto was going... taking a walk through one of the forested areas that made Konoha's namesake. Naruto stared at his hand as he walked along. He trusted me with it. And even if it was a total little crap, what am I going to do? Just let it get to me? Gone through tougher things than this. This wasn't even a setback. He stopped talking as he noticed a rock, a square rock with eye holes in front. The entire time he'd been walking, he'd been trying to burn chakra by putting wind chakra into his hand for practice. However, he hadn't been thinking of this. With his skills in Sticky Fist, and with as much time as he'd spent using wind chakra to spit leaves, building it up and holding it had become something second nature to him. Smirking to himself, Naruto stopped walking, getting to the rock to stop as well. Naruto performed a theatrical gesture that ended with him slamming his palms with his hands on a tree, both of them linked by the wrists, with one hand facing up, the other one down, subconsciously sticking it there. You know, there's one thing I hate. Randomly placed rocks. Naruto stopped the flow of chakra to his hand and turned around, but his hand stuck momentarily fast to the tree. Once he turned around, he pulled his hand free. The tree inexplicably imploded in the area the size of his hands, felling it as it had been destroyed clean through. Naruto was so surprised by this turn of events, he didn't even register the fireworks that came from the rock that had been following him, nor did he pay attention to the kids that came from the rock until one of them spoke. "Wow, boss, that was so cool." Naruto turned to see Konohamaru with two other kids. One was a girl with orange hair tied up in two very large pigtails and a red blush on her face. The other was a boy with brown hair, glasses that had a drip of snot hanging from his nose. All of these children wore goggles, similar in design to Naruto's that he currently had on his head.
"See Moegi and Udon? I told you guys that he was a super strong ninja."
Naruto blinked and looked at the tree. "How the hell did I do that? Can I do that again?" That's what he thought. Outside of his self-confidence, he needed a little pick-me-up, and this was a good reason for as any for an ego trip.
"Yeah, I guess I am, huh? How'd you guys like that?"
The girl, Moegi, ran up to the fallen tree to look at the destroyed tongue.
"What do you call that move, boss?"
So the girl was calling him that too now. That was fine with him. Now he just needed to come up with a name for it. Well, technically it was his jutsu. Even he'd be hard-pressed to do it again if he had right then. Call it. He stopped talking to think. He didn't want to be like Iruka and come up with a jutsu that was saddled with a terrible name. This needed to be something catchy.
Call it Giga Impact. It's pretty badass, isn't it?
Meh, he could claim it if he wanted to. He knew what happened. Now he just needed to recreate it. Or better yet, get his clones to recreate it. The boy Udon walked up to him with Konohamaru and sniffed before addressing him.
"Wow, that looks strong."
Naruto laughed and rubbed the area between his nose and mouth with his finger.
"Well, I have to be pretty strong, right? I'm going to the tuning exams next week in the Land of Iron, aren't I? If I'm going to get promoted, I gotta be on my game."
As the kids stood wowed and started to beg for him to play ninja, wanting to actually play with a real ninja, Naruto smiled at himself as he thought,
"Man, I don't know all this Ninetales stuff brings me. I can handle it. I don't know too much about it. I still know why it was me, but there are a lot of things I don't know. I don't know how I'm ever going to look at a few things the same way again, but if the fourth Hokage really believed in me the way Konohamaru seems to believe in me without knowing much about me, then I'm not going to let either of them down."
That evening, Naruto's apartment. As Naruto walked into his apartment, he blinked as he saw the Hokage sitting in his living room.
"Old man, how'd you..."
"Never mind. You're the Hokage. Duh," he said to himself as he walked in and shut the door behind him.
"How are things, Naruto?"
The old man asked him as he looked out Naruto's window at the Hokage monument, of which Naruto had a clear view from there.
I know that you know of your burden by now. How do you feel? Do you have anything to ask me?"
Naruto shook his head and held his stomach.
"No, I think I've got it. The Nine Tails in me. I use its chakra or something or another. Every adult knew about it. I didn't."
He gave the Hokage a wry look.
"I'm kind of upset about that, old man." "I imagine you would be, Naruto,"
he said as he turned around to look at the young yeti, a far gone look in his eye.
"The Anbu with me when I came across you after the Ninetales sealing inside you were quick to spread the word about what happened. The news spread like wildfire. All I could do at that point was to keep your peers from finding out in the future without your wishing by my decree.
He turned towards the window again as he continued to speak.
Naruto, remember this. A person is smart. A person is very intelligent. But people are stupid. If people were allowed to separately make their own opinions on you by themselves, then maybe things would be better. Maybe. But when people talk about something that puts them at unease, then mob rule takes over, and unease turns to fear or hatred. Naruto frowned and spoke up, and they didn't bother trying to see me for me. What they knew was I had inside of me. Urza nodded. That's why the few people that gave you a chance in Forbes relationships did so, because they were able to get their own opinions of you, away from the populace. You've handled the treatment of the neglect from the village, most of the village magnificently. I'm proud of you every day. Never more so now that you found out the truth.
Naruto walked over to Hiruzen and looked out the window with him.
Well, things are getting better. Haruka-sensei is always there for me like Asuma-sensei is now. Shikamaru and Ina are cool. Tenten helped me out a lot when I first started out. Kashi-sensei is weird, but I think I like him. Choji's cool to hang out with. Sasuke's... I like punching in the face. And Jiraiya-sensei is weird, but I think he likes me too. Konohamaru and his friends like me because for some reason they think I'm the greatest, and who am I to crush a kid's hopes and dreams? Hiruzen chuckled a bit, as Naruto did. I don't know where we are, though, gee, old man, since you didn't trust me enough to tell me this sooner. I could have handled it. Maybe, Hiruzen replied, but the night you came closest to finding out and the way you found out are two very different Narutos. How do you think you would have handled it if you found out this out the night of your Genin exam? Because Mizuki was about to tell you if you hadn't cut him off from doing so. Naruto gulped. He knew that he wasn't in the best state of mind that night. If he had found out, there might have been a 5-star freakout on the horizon. Someone might have really gotten hurt. Someone other than Mizuki. Hiruzen could see Naruto think about it. Even if I had told you myself. After that night, all that happened, all you heard Mizuki say, would you have taken it nearly as well as you have here today? Smile came from the elderly man's face. I've always expected great things out of you, Naruto. You continue to deliver on that front. Naruto grinned, despite the day he was having. Old man, you haven't seen anything yet. I haven't even got close to cutting loose. Just wait until the Chunin exams. I'm looking forward to it, Hiruzen said as he put a hand on Naruto's shoulder. You need anything in the future, I want you to feel free to come to me or Asuma. As close as you are, us and Konohamaru, at this point, you're becoming a full-fledged friend of our clan. You got it, Hokage. Naruto said as he stared at the mountains that had his attention since he'd been a child. Asuma stood in front of his three steeped students as they looked at him intently.
I'm glad you all decided to show up today, and none of you got cold feet.
All eyes drifted to Shikamaru, who muttered, "Troublesome." It's been a crazy 5 months, huh? Asuma said, thinking back to his time with his team. In just a few days, we'll see how you guys stack up in the grand scheme of things. You know, eyes shone with the prospect of the challenge lying ahead of them. I'm ready for it, Asuma-sensei. Team 10's the best. She put her hands on her hips and flipped her hair back haughtily. Naturally, you should know that. You did train us, after all.
That I did, Asuma said in amusement.
Naruto stood up, dusting off the back of his shorts.
Do you really think that after the stuff I've been finding out lately, I'm going to be anything other than 100% on doing this? Let's get this show on the road already.
Shikamaru stood up, shoving his hands in his pockets as if he didn't care.
Someone has to keep these two, make sure these two get through this thing in one piece, as troublesome as it seems.
Took a hand from his pocket and pointed at himself.
That someone just so happens to be me. Besides, Mom would freak out at me for the next 6 months if I didn't go and do this. So let's get it over with, he said, putting his hand up, having it covered by the two other Genin. Are we all set?
Absolutely, I said. Naruto grinned widely. Let's go kick some international ass. Asuma smiled and clapped.
Now, kids, we still have to get to the convoy so we can all head out with the other teams. We don't want to get caught behind or have to travel all the way to the land of iron alone. It was finally time to get underway. For better or for worse, the Chunin exams were here, ready or not.
Jutsu list. Giga Impact. B-rank ninjutsu. Offensive. This jutsu requires the user to be able to manipulate wind chakra and also have advanced skill in the tree walking exercise, enough that they can use it on other parts of their body near flawlessly. The user will stick their hands to the target with wind chakra, and then will suddenly quick
They twist and yank their hands away, keeping the pull active. This will create a vacuum inside the target, causing intense internal damage.
Hey, you're not a genius. Who cares? Read this and you won't suck at Fun Jutsu by Jiraiya, Part 2. You must take this test before reading this book. Every elite program in the ninja world requires one to pass some sort of test or examination before becoming a member. Now, in no way is my book as cool as, say, becoming an Anbu. Still, I have imposed a restriction on my book for those that wish to read. It's pretty simple. Pass and you're golden. Fail and you're screwed. Please return this book to where you got it from and walk away from it slowly, looking over your shoulder with a hand dog look, expressing sadness and disappointment. Now, if you scored above 40 on this test, then walk away tall, my friend. You can partake in the knowledge of the coming pages. If you score between 30 and 40, you still got a ways to grow, but you can read this book. Still, no one can know you're reading this book. If anyone asks if you're reading this book, you must say, no, I tried, but Jiraiya-sama's epic tome is far too beyond my mental comprehension. If you scored below 20 books points, then sorry about your luck. Please put my book down. You cannot use it. Sucks for you. Now let's do this. The book will be keeping score, but for your own mental anguish, you should do it yourself as well. Answer each question to the best of your ability. Leave nothing blank, or else the test will not conclude and tally your score. And remember, when in doubt, answer a question the way you think I would, because we all know that I'm infallible. Question 1. Which way is north? A. Toward the mountain. B. Over by that lake. C. Down the stream. D. Towards that mangrove forest. Answer 5. Answer A. Minus 5 points. No, stupid. The mountains are in the south. B. Minus 5 points. The lake is to the southeast. You're either your compass is broke or you've been eating way too many paint chips. C. Plus 8 points. Correct. You scored big. D. Minus 8 points. While you were answering this question somewhere, I am laughing at your topographical ignorance. Question 2. You know you're about to get into a full-scale fight against a shinobi. You know is on your level. Your chances of victory are 50-50. Nothing more, nothing less. He slash she knows that you are coming and is prepared to fight just as much as you are. You look at your supplies or at the area around you. You set the tone for this battle. What do you begin? A. A kunai. B. Your hands. C. When you enter the battleground, take note of every around you that you can possibly use to substitute with at a moment's notice. D. Launch your best jutsu right off the bat. E. Try and start a conversation and make witty banter. F. Teamwork. G. None of the above. Answers. A. 0 points. Having a weapon at the ready when you're in a fight is usually a good idea, because your opponent will probably have one too. That's just common sense when you're about to begin a fight to the death, though. Minus 2 points. There are exceptions to this rule, such as people that are proven to be able to beat down armed opponents on their level with bare hands. But if you can do that, then why the hell are you reading this? Go put this book down and punch a tree into firewood. Answer C, 5 points. A well-timed substitution can save your life, confuse your opponents, and give you an opening to finish the fight. It's basic for a good reason, you know. Also, it makes your opponent look stupid, which can psych them out. Answer D, minus 5 points. No, what's wrong with you? Look, I already said that they knew you were coming, and unless your jutsu can liquefy a person's mind from a mile out, then when they're already aware that you're on your way, there's no way that would work. There's no surprise. They're on your level, as I previously stated. It's quite clear you've never been in a fight. Answer E, 0 points. If you're going to get into a face-to-face fight, you're probably going to start talking to the guy you're fighting inevitably. It calms the nerves that you might be having. Putting a voice to the face of your enemy lets you know that he's human just like you. And just like you, he can be defeated. F, plus 10 points. Remember this now. If you don't learn anything from this book, you have the option of waiting for backup, then sleeping on the cold ground for all of eternity. If you have the means, then I highly suggest making your fight a team affair. It works out better for you that way. Teamwork, it does make the dream work. G, plus 15 points. If you pick this, then that means you have something way more badass up your sleeve to begin with that fight with. Either you were smart enough to realize, I never stated why this fight is happening, and it was pointless. If there's no reason to fight, then don't fight. You go around the potential conflict. No one dies that way, and we all keep moving forward. No harm, no foul. Question 3. Rock, paper, scissors. A, rock. B, paper. C, scissors.
D, volcano. Answers. A, plus 3 points. You're a very direct person. You solve most problems you see by going straight at it and handling them as they come at you. You're not very subtle, but you make up for that by being hard to break both mentally and physically. B, minus 15 points. You're weak and serve no functional combat purpose to the things going on around you or your comrades. You would rather try and keep things from happening than solve actual problems. When you do, you're too useless to change anything in the first place. You can't solve problems because you're weak, and you're easily bent to the will of others. You can't even really stop problems from happening. All you can really do is say that you tried, and then tell others what happened. C, plus 5 points. You're sneaky, and can make moves. You can turn things into what you think they should be to serve your purposes appropriately. You're dangerous when people are stupid around you, but an invaluable asset when people do the right things in your presence. D, minus 5 points. Psh, volcano, you freaking cheater. You might as well have picked me, dear. If you're going to play like that, then I'm not playing this game with you anymore. Question 4. The leader of your village walks in right now and tells you that he or she wants to promote you, and you alone. You work on a team, and you ask him about your teammates and what will become of them. He or she tells you that they aren't cutting it and that they will be left low on the totem pole forever. You are given the opportunity of declining your promotion, however, as the leader wants to make sure you think you're ready for this at first. What do you do? A. Take the promotion and leave your team to take their chances. B. Ask if you can stick with your team once you get the promotion. C. Decline the promotion, stay with your team, do your best to get them up to snuff so that eventually you can all be considered for promotions instead of just one at the expense of others. D, stand there, hyperventilate over the choice until you pass out or your village leader walks away, taking the choice out of your hands. A, minus 10 points. Chances are you've been with this team for quite a while before you get this promotion. Unless they're despicable human beings that try your patience every waking moment you see them, you will somewhat like, if not utterly enjoy them by this time. To just leave them to wither on the vine is not what is appropriate. You were put in the team in the first place to cover each other. The only thing being covered in this case is your own ass as you climb up the ladder. Good luck getting anyone to trust you again after this, though, douche. Answer B, 0 points. In the end, this sounds like the right call, balancing out the best of both worlds. But eventually your team will grow to resent you. You having the promotion and you're not moving on. They won't take it as you looking out for them. They'll take it as you lording your higher rank over them. And it will lead to some problems. C, plus 5 points. Your leader never said they wouldn't promote you later if you declined now. You can always get promoted later. Your team needs you now. Find out what they need to work on. Drive it into their heads to improve. If you're the one up for promotion, then take the reins. And be a damn leader. Get things together. D, minus 15 points. Good going. Now you're in the same boat as the rest of your team. Hope you like being a 35-year-old guinea, you poor bastard. Question 5. The Hokage has the ability to use a crystal ball in his office to observe the happenings on the people within Konoha's walls when there is a free moment in the busy schedule of the modern Kage. The restrictions to this are, in fact, the knowledge of the person's chakra signature for whom you are searching for is necessary, and people with the ability to properly hide their own presence from the sight of the jutsu need to activate the vault can avoid scrutiny. Now, with this in mind, you use this power. How would you use this power in your free time? A, to keep Konoha safe by scanning all the points of interest and possible persons of interest that may pose a threat. B, to keep tags on the sweet little hottie that you have eyes for. C, to spy on the women's side of the hot springs. D, to spy on the men's side of the hot springs. E, to see if you can check up your nose to ensure you don't have a booger that is just a hair making your nose twitch. A, 0 points. A noble gold indeed, but do you have any idea how many people live in this village? How many of them are shifty as hell? There's nobody in this entire village that isn't a little bit suspicious. And by the time you get to the seat of Hokage, you'll know that. We're ninjas, for fuck's sake. It's our job to keep secrets, and that makes us suspicious by nature. You don't have all the time in the day to keep an eye on that many people. That's why you have a ninja out there under your employee to do it for you and report things of interest back to you. Duh. B, minus 5 points. First of all, that's creepier than all hell to keep watching on one person that you've liked all day long. If the person isn't your spouse, that's not cool. And even then, it's pretty messed up. Besides, you're thinking too small with it, if that's what you're doing. C, plus 10 points. Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Nothing wrong with that at all. No, sir. If you're a woman, you still get plus 5 points because that's actually kind of hot. D, because of my impartiality and realizing that it takes all kinds in this world, I will not subtract points, even though I want to take away minus 75. So I will strike a happy medium there with you and give you 0 points for this. Unless you're a woman taking this test, in which case you receive plus 10 points. Because as well, I am equal opportunity. E, minus 5 points. This question was supposed to be a gimme, but you still managed to fuck it up. Great job. 6. Question 6. A small company manufactures small metal ninja tools that can be fixed at 20,000 Ryo per day, and total of 3,500 Ryo per day at a daily output of 200 weapons. Assume the total cost of this function is linear. Find the average cost function. A, 35,000 equals 200x plus 2,000. B, you can't answer because you're desperately trying to find a graphing calculator of some sort. C, you took this problem to your super smart friend to get the answer because damned if you know. D, you stared at the problem for the last half an hour trying to work it out to no avail. 20 points, but are you sure? I mean, are you really sure? Really, really sure? Then show your damn work step by step and tell me what the average cost per weapon will tend to be at the cost of production increases. I want to see your junior smart ass work out the problem right here, right now. If you can, this part after the exam will remain blank, and you were stupid enough to state something that you couldn't aptly explain by marking this answer, then you lose minus 20 points for it. Trying to pull a fast one and being a know-it-all. B, 0 points. Good idea. But those things cost 800 Ryo just for the oldest models. I doubt you have one on you at the moment. And once you even find it, would you even know what to put in to find the answer? Didn't think so. C, plus 10 points. If you got the resources, then use them. We're not all mathematicians here. We're shinobi. And if you can handle the person calling you stupid and luring this over you for the next 2 weeks, then you've earned it. There's nothing wrong with admitting you don't know something. That's why shinobi work in squads. You might want to fix that little problem, though, if you get the chance. D, minus 10 points. Inaction breeds loss. You're on the clock and wasting valuable time as you read this. You got to come up with answers quick. No one's giving you time to think in battle. Oh, wait. You didn't know this test was being timed? My bad. Well, you got 5 minutes left, by the way. Yeah, wishing you didn't skip that brain-bending question number one right now, did you? Aren't you? Question 7. You step into battle against Hans the Salamander, and things don't go quite as planned. How do you respond? A. The moment you regain consciousness, you bolt for the border as fast as your stubby little legs can carry you. B. Go outside of Hanzo's house, call him out, except this time you use some kind of weapon such as a baton, broadsword, a handful of explosive decks duct taped together in a giant ball of apocalypse. C. Quickly invent some kind of excuse, like glaucoma, as to why you lost that you can use for the next 2 to 3 decades when people ask why you lost. D. It just so happens that you didn't get your ass kicked all alone. Nope, your team was there to share in the fun. After you wake up from dreamland, get into your team's faces for getting in your way. E. Throw your hands in the air, pretend you won. Brag about it, how you made Hanzo leave you alone all the way back to your hometown. F. Remain in the area, lick your wounds, taking your defeat on the battlefield like a man. Answers. A. Plus 8 points. Excellent choice. If you're in good enough condition to get up and go ahead and get your ass out of Dodge, why would you stay after getting your ass renamed by somebody that didn't see you as enough of a threat to kill you? Hell, he didn't even capture you. Go, fool. Go. B. Minus 8 points. Bad choice. Hanzo is a master with exploding tags as well, and most likely he'll claim your weapon of choice and beat you to death with it. Don't ask me how you can be beaten to death with a ball of exploding tags, but I'm more than certain there's a way. C. Plus 2 points. I'm not a huge fan of people making excuses, but if you cite glaucoma as the reason for your loss, then you get 2 points for originality. However, if you made up some generic excuse because you slipped, or your experimental finishing jutsu crapped out on you halfway through, then take away 10 points. Why? Because shit happens. It's called an anomaly, mere chance. Those aren't good excuses for Jack. D, minus 5 points. After suffering such a terrible loss with a man-up advantage, last thing you want to do is get beat up by your female and effeminate male-looking teammates. That would be a career killer. E, minus 5 points. An excellent way to look like an even bigger jackass. F, minus 2 points. Now, some people would say that this is the way to take all losses, such as this one if you chose this answer. Fuck you. You think you're better than me? You try getting your ass handed to you on a silver platter by a Hanzo, and then sucking it up for a bona fide post-fight humiliation interview with those three kids and that dog that were watching us get stomped. Ugh. I had to hang around and help those kids out for years after that, just to make them think I was cool. Though I wonder what that girl with them grew up to be look like. I bet she's a 10. Question 8. You accompany your sensei, who is the current Hokage, and your student, who is the best damn shinobi you've ever seen, to a treaty signing with the Iwagakure. Instead of hashing out the details to the treaty, brokering peace, as you would expect them to do, especially after that student of yours tap danced on the proverbial nutsack of the evil war machine single-handedly, the third Tsuchikage spends the entire meeting taking sniping verbal shots at you and your contingent. You don't want any more blood saved, so you don't just leave and return to war. What do you say to handle the situation? Tsuchikage-sama, if you'd please just sign a treaty, the losses on both sides have been far too staggering for us to continue this war. It doesn't serve any purpose beyond this point. B, you better hurry up. I hear shinobi surplus stores selling lists for half off for today, only to celebrate the end of the war. You're probably all over that deal, huh? C, yeah, Konoha, huh? I can see why you hate it. Those trees of ours, so tall and arrogant. D, if you sign the treaty, I'll give you a shirt for your birthday that reads, Mustache Rides 50 Rio. Answers, A, minus 10 points. Is this the diplomatic response? Yes. Is this the way my sensei addressed the issue when it actually did come up at the meeting? You bet he did. The thing about that was the Tsuchikage was pissed and knew he had to surrender at the point. And he was trying to save face, for lack of a better term, punking us out. Hearing sensei say this made things worse, and my student didn't make matters any better. Everything he said was in the same vein at the moment. B, plus 2 points. If you were there, then you'd know that this incident was irritating as hell. He ran his mouth for at least 45 minutes straight one time. You need plenty of time to get angrier and think of a smart-ass response than this one. This one was one of the first ones. C, plus 4 points. Look at a full-body picture of the Tsuchikage and tell me you wouldn't at least put a smirk on your face when you hear this. This was actually the joke that got my student in on the fun. D, plus 25 points. I did not say this. Believe it or not, my student, Namikaze Minato, let that one rip all on his own. That girlfriend of his must have really influenced him on that one, because look on that old troll Inoki's face when Minato spoke up with that one, priceless. This was the comment that stopped the entire meeting. Inoki had nothing left to say after that one. He just signed the treaty and left. I've never been so proud in my entire life. It is way more original than any of my rips. If you pass the test, then congratulations. Feel free to walk tail tall and read at your leisurely delight. You're my proud pseudo-protege. Good luck with that. Let the light of your greatness shine like the gallant Jiraiya himself. People like us, we've got tiger blood. If you fail, sorry for you. Hope you enjoyed reading this book so far. And please return it from where you got it. Sucks to be you right now. End of chapter notes. Chapter complete. The next chapter will be the beginning and portion of the story that I've been wanting to write the most. And I hope I have a new set of thrills for you as part of the tuning exams in a totally new setting. I'm sure that you guys will enjoy it, since it won't be anything like you've read before. I hope. Because if anyone wrote anything like I might snap. I thought I was the one that came up with was original as far as I'm concerned. Next chapter will be the setup for the arc, along with some foreshadowing for those that are attentive. This is just the beginning of the Ninetales stuff. It's just as important as I made it out to be towards the storyline earlier on. Hopefully that will manifest itself later on the story, because now, as of now, only Naruto knows about it, while Shikamaru and to a lesser extent Ino are curious about his abilities. Anyways, Kenshi out. Later, folks. Hey guys, just wanted to talk to you after the episode was over. Thank you all for listening. I just wanted to thank you guys for still listening, and apologize for my lack of posting in the last half a year or so. Life has been crazy, and I'm hoping that now as things are kind of clearing up, that I will have a bit more time to get through recording some more episodes, at least more regularly, though I can't make any promises. If you want to know, I have posted the link to the original story in the description, as well as an email if you'd like to contact the podcast at any point. And thank you all for listening again, and have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.